This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi. You know, every day we start the show with a tape from the Belcher or one of our wacky tapes. Mm-hmm. We stumbled upon a tape yesterday. I don't know how long I'll feel as patriotic as I do now.
Okay.
But I'm sure you'll join with me. It's like we should play this every day.
Oh, good.
To start the show.
Germany today appears to be beaten. Hitler, out.
Out.
Swastikas.
Gone.
Gone. Nazi propaganda off the air.
Where'd it go?
Concentration camps empty.
Gone.
There are ruins. There are flowers.
Uh-huh.
There's some mighty pretty scenery. Don't let it fool us.
Right.
It's still enemy country.
Amen.
We must still be alert. We must still be suspicious of everyone.
Everyone.
We must take no chances.
Right.
We're up against something more than tourist scenery. We're up against German history. It isn't good.
I like that. Every day.
It's okay to hate someone as long as they're different than you.
Right. Thank you.
John Gatley. WABC.
I get a lot of stuff that comes across the show desk. And I go through stuff, and a lot of times, and Jill forwards me this, that, and the other thing. 90% of the time, I just toss it. I mean, it's just, I look at it, take one glance at it, and, yeah. You know, if it yeah. strikes my fancy.
Yeah, because you're so important. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. this company that does this sort of thing, anyway, came up with excuses. I guess they did some sort of a survey of excuses. I'd like to hear yours. All right, John over in New Jersey. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good.
Good. I called in once. I have a job where I drive.
Right.
And I called in one morning to say that the garbage truck backed into my car and dumped garbage all over the place. So now I had to have a smell for the car. What I did was I parked at Michael Maris Tane.
And so you had you to make it legit so that when you went to work the next day, you had to make your car smell crummy.
Whoopee!
Oh, okay. Very good.
Nice, he didn't get the belt, Joe.
Okay.
Whoopee!
Let's see. I liked it.
Yeah.
Like
hello.
I love him.
He had to bark on your taint, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I love. He likes my taint.
Hello.
Hi there. Oh.
Hello.
Run around town like a fool, and you think that's.
Hey, can I request one?
Of course.
That new one you played from great 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 grandma Spiewak.
I forgot who it was.
Which one?
The one talking about hating people.
Oh, that one.
Great, great, great.
It's okay to hate someone as long as they're different than you.
That's Sharon. That's his mom.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, Rob.
Not his grandma.
My apologies.
That's how desperate we are for wild tracks. Now we actually send Rob out and we just get him to tape members of his family speaking.
That was Thanksgiving last year, I believe.
Something stinks like stale French fries.
That'd be his dad, Bob.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I don't know about you cats. We have prepped a great show today. How about you, Regis?
Yeah, I don't like getting up that early because, you know, when you have a show that's in the afternoon or at night, you at least have that day to think about it.
Right.
Plan your questioning, plan what you're going to talk about. When you wake up at 7:30 and you get there at 8:30 and you're on the air at 9, there's no time to prepare, which may be an asset to the way I do a show, the spontaneity that you have to live with. And deal with.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Regis.
What not?
Thanks. That's behind the curtain at the Regis and Kelly Lee show.
Yeah.
That's right.
What do you do with an elderly woman?
Oh, you know, Regis.
You know.
You know.
Just a bunch of white trash.
You know I detest the radio.
Yes.
I know. Turn that off immediately.
But when we're talking about things like loose stool and oily discharge, at best they sound annoying.
Oh,
but
no.
I would imagine on the other end of the spectrum, they can get fairly severe. And some of the educational material on this drug actually says you might want to think about bringing an extra pair of pants to work with you. I mean,
is everybody happy?
I hope so.
Uh-oh, Dongo!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Tell me, where's Big Ed?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
All right, thanks, Big Ed.
Hi, everybody!
Hi, everybody, welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
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 It's today, the day after yesterday, and the day before tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be great. That's what we say on this show.
This is the day of the week where we use the initials to spell a bad word.
That's right.
Yes.
Sure, happy, it's Thursday.
Figure it out.
Get it?
Huh?
Phone number, same as it was yesterday, 877-365-3636. Saw a very shady deal going down in the parking lot before the show today.
Really? Uh-oh.
Yes, sir.
Chungo.
Yep. Uh-oh, my
God. Uh-oh, Chungo!
So, arrival worked, usual time. Right. Notice a rotund man with one arm, sweating profusely, pacing in front of the door to the Don and Mike house, the building we broadcast from.
Right.
A one-armed man.
A one-armed man, Mike, the fugitive.
Right. Richard Kimball.
Dennis? Our fugitive's name is Dennis Murphy.
Dennis Murphy. So I did what I think anyone on this show would do. I immediately called Rob, and I said, there's a Dennis outside the building.
Yes.
I thought we sprayed for that.
And Rob said, there's really nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
He's here for Joe.
There's nothing you can do to get rid of them. Once they've been in your house once, they're, that's it. They're
I had survivors. To put on my beekeeper outfit, that big hat, my hazmat outfit, and walk past him. And when I did my little beep beep with the security to get through, I said, how are you, Dennis? And he said, I am here to see Joe.
Oh.
I said, very interesting. Have a pleasant day.
Did and, you enter the building leaving him outside?
Oh, of course.
Very good.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Moments later, Rob and I, from the perch right here in the main studio out the window, saw what appeared to be some type of, I don't know what you kids would call it, a dope deal gone.
Oh, my God.
A dope deal gone bad from the back of Dennis Murphy's Nissan Maxima.
Selling drugs out of the back of his car.
That's not right.
You know, then I looked at both of the people and I said to Rob, you know, we kid Joe. Joe gets high on life. And right. Dennis Murphy, well, there's no drug out there that can help him.
Right.
So it can't be a drug deal. What Probably could they possibly
not. And he does love his beer. We've seen him consume copious amounts of beer.
The only drug that Dennis is addicted to is a drug called fluoride.
So
he looks like that opera singer from England.
He does. Pots or something.
That's him.
Pots.
So anyway, we decided that it's not anything awful, but they were conducting some sort of business, and then I noticed Dennis pantomiming as he reached towards his T-shirt with his one arm, the T-shirt that he was wearing, and holding it out and showing Joe something about the collar and then pointing to the printing on the shirt.
Yeah.
And then Rob said, you know, one of Joe's many side businesses is making T-shirts.
Mm-hmm. One of his harebrained get-rich-quick schemes.
He's and, a T-shirt guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And a damn fine one,
Joe's
too.
Shirt shack.
And he's got some kind of a deal going with Dennis.
Mm-hmm. I wear one of Joe's T-shirts. It's the Fearless Decider T-shirt. With George W.'s picture on.
Good one.
I'll be wearing one of Joe's shirts tomorrow.
Joe?
Oh, really?
Yes. In celebration of the day.
Oh,
special day tomorrow. Oh, yes.
What day?
Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
I hadn't made mention of it. I didn't know what day you were talking about.
You hadn't mentioned it.
The day that we're... Oh, you stopped that. No. The day that we're not going to have the banners this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fully prepared for... I'm you know what? I've mentally prepared myself for any eventuality, so I will be happy.
Well,
there's
no need to prepare yourself for any eventuality, because
good.
The eventuality
good.
Is we're coming in tomorrow on your birthday. We're going to do the show and have a good show, but there's not going to be like the Hawaiian luau set this year.
Well, you don't have to be mean about
You don't have to be that way about it.
I'm not being mean about it.
You know, I understand that. It's
The last three or four years, we've had every year to do kind of a Chuck E. Cheese theme for you.
Yeah, and I don't need it. I don't need it this year.
Good for you.
I have something on my shoe.
What is it?
I was very distracted. Is that bird poop on my shoe?
It looks like gum.
Is it gum?
Smell it.
Perhaps a tissue.
Taste it.
Oh.
Lick
smelling it.
It is not gum. It is difficult to identify. I will deal with it with a stick.
Do you have a tissue or do you need a tissue?
Just an empty box.
I have a tissue. I'm sorry, but this distracted me.
Joe?
The first thing that's besmirched your brand new Birkenstocks.
What is your business with Dennis P. Murphy?
My business is joesragshack.com.
Oh, what are you enjoying for lunch today, Joe?
Sub sandwich.
Is it good?
It's great.
What type of sub?
You know, it's one of these ones you get at Safeway. It's got all kinds of different things. It's about a foot long.
Love hearing you eat, Joe.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, I could just listen to you eat all day long, all the live long day.
Well, I'll take a break.
Thank you, Joe.
I'll take a break.
So what project is it that Dennis has hired you for?
His Dennis Murphy is a Major Effing Star t-shirts.
Oh, good.
Oh, you got that contract.
Yeah, I have an honor to crank out 100 of them for I guess he's going to Sacramento next week.
Oh. Really? How quickly can you turn a t-shirt around, like with design and design to actual production?
Well, his is just a one ink on one on a white shirt, so I can do that in a couple hours.
So you mean do you think that this whirlwind order for 100 shirts came on the heels of his fantastic appearance on the show this week?
I don't know. I don't know much about Dennis. Actually, they're amputee shirts.
Could you work one up for me for tomorrow? Like just a plain white one or a plain black one, and all I need on it, it just would save me a lot of effort, is thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
Can you
work that up for me tomorrow? For tomorrow?
What size?
Double XL.
I believe I can swing that.
And
thanks
I believe
so much.
That's going to be the.
Or, check that, Joe. Here's a little more elaborate. Thanks, everyone.
Everyone. I like that.
But you know, you bring up something interesting. Remember how motivated Dennis was to get out and cover this event, the Silver Surfer concert?
Yeah, he did an incredible job. It was unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I mean, on his scale, it was an absolute 10.
Maybe you remember how really fantastic it was. If not,
hello, Don and Mike. This is Dennis Murphy. It's Saturday night, June 16th.
High energy.
I'm in downtown, beautiful Maryland.
Where?
This is the definition of wearing out your welcome.
And on that Chip Hill I'm getting ready to go into the Reverb Galaxy. That is the band who won your statue.
You know, I've never just taken it down.
I like your Dennis Murphy impression.
I've never just taken it down to the level of just making fun of him.
I know. Because we love the guy, you know? We love my good brother.
Now it's clear why he wanted to get involved in the show, because he has an event to promote himself.
You're right. The most selfish regular on the show.
Exactly.
Oh, Rob, you're
Hold
so
on.
Right.
I follow you on this, boy, because what you're saying is...
We hadn't heard from him in months.
Right, months.
When Dennis went to cover the band that won our big, gigantic 12-foot Silver Surfer, he did it on his own.
Yes, he did.
With his own tape recorder.
More momentum out of him than we have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
He provided his own tape unit.
That's right.
Here he is now, Counselor. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, John, hi, Mike. How you doing?
Okay.
Happy early birthday, Mike. Congratulations.
Thanks, everyone.
No.
Collect your thoughts.
Okay. Sacramento is flying me out for the Bluefest next Saturday.
What? KHTK is flying you out?
Yeah, KHTK is flying me out to the Bluefest Festival.
Call that Mike Ramey out there a lot of things. He is a master promoter.
And it's always fun to go to the Moose Fest.
Yes.
He knows how to please a large crowd.
He does indeed.
You want to bring in a major, well, that's why he's got the t-shirt. Say, I am a major effing star.
Coach or first class, Murphy?
A Bluefest?
But actually, it's coach, but the thing is my flight and hotel.
They're paying for your flight and your hotel.
Where will, yeah. where will you be staying in Sacramento?
I don't know yet, but I will broadcast that in Sacramento.
Do you know what gate you're coming into? Do you know what time you're flying? And when will you be arriving in Sacramento so you can have a welcoming committee at the airport?
It's going to be Thursday around 12 o'clock, but I don't know what airline yet.
Well, Dennis,
they're stationed in Sacramento. How could they possibly do this? How could they fly him out there? And from what the way it sounds, they're going to put him at some client.
A rinky-dink.
A retail place. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have him like doing phoners.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, hey, KHCK Sports Time, 213. What's happening down at the fish market?
Wow.
Well, let's go to Dennis Murphy. You've heard him on the Don and Mike Show, and he'll be on a telephone with a quality probably about as good as this.
Yes.
Where he'll say, hi, Dennis.
Ooh.
Dennis?
DSN line, I think.
Oh. ISDN line, you mean?
So you'll have a clear broadcast line.
Dennis, you said Thursday at 12 o'clock. Today is Thursday. Next Thursday is Thursday. The Thursday after that, 12 o'clock is midnight
or noon.
When are you coming in?
It's June 28th at noon time. It's either U.S. Air or Continental.
You haven't gotten your tickets yet?
I'm still trying to get the best price.
Sure.
Well, why are you having to chase the price?
I thought they were flying you out there.
I have to clear the price with my limit.
That's unacceptable. You're the major effing star that's going out there. You don't need to clear prices.
Hey, John, would you please be a love and get Mike Ramey from KHTK on the line?
So it's a reimbursement deal.
Yeah.
Now, Dennis, this is a very important question, and it requires honesty, all right?
Okay.
When you called in to John last week to ask to cover the Silver Surfer concert, was that at all motivated by the fact that you knew you were headed out to Sacramento?
No, it was not motivated by that.
No, you want to rethink that?
No. It wasn't motivated.
Okay. All right, pipe down. Pipe down.
It was not motivated because I was told that.
Okay, all right, you know what? Hold on. I'm getting a headache from this. Too much is happening now. He's just going, and Joe's bringing in a font for Mike's T-shirt that says, thanks, everyone.
It's a proof is what it is.
It's a proof.
You need to sign off on it and send it back to the T-shirt shack.
Meanwhile, Rob wants to get Dennis like it's the freaking Inquisition.
There is a lot going on, isn't there? An awful lot going on.
Yes, there is.
Lots of plates spinning right now.
I'd like to speak to the program director in Sacramento.
Mike Ramey.
To find out what kind of deal it is that they got to wrangle Dennis to come out there.
I'd like to speak to him right after I approve this T-shirt font.
Did anybody hear or understand what kind of a fest Dennis is going to?
A blues fest
blues
is what he
fest?
Said.
I couldn't make it out.
I thought it was a poo fest.
Or a goo fest.
Rob said moose fest. Uh-huh. So maybe it's some sort of cow thing. We know that he's fine around livestock.
Maybe it's a boo fest.
Or booze fest. Uh-huh. Now he'd be good at that. He likes his beer.
Right.
Are we getting Mike Ramey on the phone?
Perhaps he can answer that question.
Sure, he's listening, as always, in the fetal position underneath his desk.
I'm a powerful man.
Radio Row in
Sacramento. I'm a powerful. I've had this job longer than any other program director.
So it's got to be that they had some client, and he called Dennis and said, hey, Dennis, do you want to make $50, or do you want to sell your own T-shirts?
Uh-huh.
Yes, great. Find a real low fare and get back to me. That's what I'm guessing.
Probably.
I think we got to act as Dennis's agent here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Line 8.
You got him?
Night of 2 in the travel lodge.
We got Ramey on the line.
There he is now. Program director of KHTK Radio in Sacramento, Mike Ramey.
Donna, Mike, how are you?
Hey, well, dude. Let me first say, Mike, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys are, you're doing great out here. What can I say?
Not doing great. Didn't I read the newspaper as number one of the 14 share?
That's right.
Wow.
For our show?
That's incredible.
Yeah, that says something about the people of Sacramento.
You know, it's amazing with all the punishment we give them on this show that they still keep making us number one.
And you're going to be more and more important out there when the Kings go to Vegas.
Okay. All right, Rob.
Oh, come on, don't talk like that.
Listen, Mike.
He's hateful today, isn't he?
Listen, Mike, let's talk about your raping of Dennis Murphy. Exactly what is the deal that you offer? What cockamamie deal did you offer him to come out there?
So we can get people to our Sports and Brew Fest coming up June 30th.
Oh, it's Brew Fest. Oh, it's a beer fest.
Sports and Beer Fest, yeah. Brew Fest.
Why would you want him there?
Because he is a star in Sacramento. I mean, Dennis has been out here many, many times, as well, you know.
Mike, okay, great. Being as you said that, why is Dennis having to shop for his own airfare?
Yeah, don't you have a promotions director or somebody in your PR department that could work on that, Mike?
Yeah, we do, but we will reimburse him for all his costs.
No matter what they are?
No matter what they are.
Then we urge that he flies first.
Yeah, if I were Dennis, I would go first class.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, fair enough.
Good man. Nothing more needs to be said.
Thank you.
Done and done.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you hung up before he did it.
You know what? With that, hey, look, that's on the radio. Yeah, that's like a contract.
Hey, Dan.
Dennis, did you hear that?
Yeah, it's a good chance to catch one of these program directors in one of their incredible lies.
And one of their moments where they can't backpedal. We've got him on tape saying, you know, he'll reimburse you whatever. That means he's going to reimburse your plane and wherever you stay.
You know where I want you to stay, Dennis? Where was that one wicked good hotel that we stayed at?
The Sheraton.
The Sheraton in downtown Sacramento where all the NBA players stay with the teams come into town. That is a fantastic hotel. Nice big atrium.
And who's got the direct flight? There are direct flights to Sacramento now, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. United Airlines.
No, there's no direct flights.
Dennis, yes, there are. Maybe.
There's one or two.
From BWI?
Yeah, try Northwest out of BWI.
I think JetBlue might do it.
Dennis, you can get yourself.
Of course, that wouldn't be first class.
Hey, but hey, hold on a second. He's flying first class. Who cares if he's got to have a layover in Dallas?
Right. Yeah, or Denver.
Salt
Lake City. You know what that means? What's the worst thing he's got to do? Change planes?
Yeah, if he's flying first, it doesn't matter.
I don't want.
Dennis, you're going to have to call us back within the hour to let us know that you've finalized your arrangements.
Okay, I will call you back within an hour.
All right, you got to book that deal. Make it happen, Dennis.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Hey, rent yourself a nice mid-sized car when you're out there.
Actually, you see my new car, Don? I got a new Chrysler 300.
Oh, you got a 300?
Okay. Yeah.
The car of the Don and Mike regular.
The limited edition.
All right.
The limited.
And get hookers.
So you got to call us back with like your flight arrangements and the fancy hotel you're staying at.
I will call you back within an hour.
All right.
And remember, if you do get a hooker, get a receipt so you can expense it.
And fax all the staff after you make all your reservations. Make sure you fax it all to Mike Ramey right away, Dennis.
Yes, you got to do that. You got to work fast, Dennis. You got to really get this done.
As a matter of fact, Den, get it to him before you get it to us.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Agent Don, Agent Mike. Thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, all right.
He does a little showbiz
at the end.
He really is an entertainer, isn't he?
He is indeed.
A motivated one.
Hey, and now he's getting what he deserves. He's a star. You heard Mike Ramey say he's a star in Sacramento.
Yes.
And because we're talking about it now, you know he's going to have a turnout for him. You know, it's going to be great.
And everyone will be so thrilled.
And now we're going to take a moment to glimpse into the future of what the person sitting in first class next to Dennis will say.
No.
Let's all channel and listen.
To be blatantly honest, I was more nervous than I'd ever been on a flight. I've never felt so offended in my life. I felt like I had been physically abused and neglected. I was forced to sit next to human excrement for 7 hours. Sickening. It's a nauseating smell. It's very uncomfortable. I don't know how you can say a plane needs to be grounded one day for a problem that's not as major as the problem the next day, and it doesn't qualify for being grounded. But to be told that we were supposed to monitor what comes out the other end of us was insulting.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Dennis Murphy. It's Saturday night.
Raw sewage. Okay, well, that worked out good for Dan.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That worked out for him.
He'll have a great trip now.
Oh, hold on a second. Rob Spiewak.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
Yeah. Let's find out, Rob. I have an answer for you about your birthday present that I tried to buy for you on eBay.
Oh, the helmet. Right.
The wonderful Nazi helmet. Well, as it turns out...
I think where we left it, you were in dispute, weren't you? Weren't you in PayPal court?
Yes, I took the gentleman from Germany to pay, because that's where the helmet came from for my birthday.
A lot of them came from there, Don.
To PayPal court.
Yes.
And here's the email I got. Dear Mr. Wonderful, we've concluded our investigation into your case and have decided
in your favor.
All right.
Hallelujah.
That's great, Mr. Wonderful.
We were able to recover $68.27 USD, and this amount has been credited to you.
Fantastic.
That's good news.
Wonderful.
Do you want me to try to buy you something of equal value on eBay for $68.27, or would you like it on a gift certificate?
May I have a moment to think it over?
Sure.
Hmm.
As I recall, I forgot your birthday this year, which is why I just ordered you crap off eBay.
You know what? I think I'll take it as a gift certificate.
Ding. Okay.
And you know what? You can make it easier. You can even PayPal me the money.
He accepts that.
How simple is that?
And I know. I'll bid with confidence.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you got it.
Excellent.
Happy birthday to you.
You know what?
Happy late birthday to you.
I appreciate it. And perhaps the helmet should stay in Germany. That's where it was built.
Yeah. And what we said at the beginning of the show has to be remembered now.
That's right.
You know, that whole statement that we made, that patriotic statement.
The complexion of the relationship between us and that
right.
that country
That's why
changed.
You didn't get your helmet. Yeah, you were actually getting it from Germany.
Yes, I was, Mike.
And I remember what that guy says. You know, they're still the enemy. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Even though the propaganda is off the air,
mm-hmm.
Hitler gone,
yep.
Swastika's down.
Okay. Right. All right, we heard it.
They may need the helmet.
We heard it. But I won in PayPal court. I won.
Congratulations.
In the court of the nerds, I won.
You won. This year we're crediting your account.
Congratulations from PayPal.
Whoopee!
Hello to Don and Mike show. What's up?
Hey, this is Gary Wendell. How you guys doing?
Gary Wendell, I didn't believe we were on a last name basis, but how are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
Mr. Wendell?
We normally only like our Wendell's first names.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wendell Hall.
Wendell Hall.
Yeah, really, it's weird, because Wendell can go either way, I hear.
Yeah,
that's what we've heard.
That's what I heard. And when we think of Wendell, we think of our favorite engineer that we ever
had.
Hi,
this is Wendell Hall.
Yeah.
In all this excitement, I sort of forgot myself. This is a Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. So what you've got to be asking yourself is, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, Punk?
Yeah. Well, do you,
Good
Punk?
Good luck.
Yeah, that's the world's most famous Wendell, Wendell Hall. Yeah.
Nothing like Wendell at a Christmas party.
Gotcha.
Nothing like Wendell on New Year's Eve.
Well, there's a new Wendell in town.
When he's alone at the transmitter site. With a bottle.
With a bottle all by himself.
And imagine if you're like me and you're one of the lucky ones that got one of those phone calls.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Don! Hey, hello, who is this? It's Wendell! Hey, what's happening, Wendell? Happy New Year, you son of a bitch! Wendell, where you at? I'm at the transmitter site. You really called me one year.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Was it Y2K? Was that the year that they had to be at the transmitter site?
Because they didn't know if we'd be on the air when everything
Blotto.
Happened. That's right.
And the transmitter site, in this case, is pretty self-explanatory. It's the big tower.
Yeah.
And there's a little, like, outhouse-sized shack
mm-hmm.
with all this incredible machinery.
Usually on a piece of high ground. Very cold.
That's right.
And, yeah, and the conditions are really not good. And
there's one bare exposed bulb hanging loose from the ceiling.
And because everybody was convinced that we had to have duct tape and batteries and cash, they made Wendell go out to the transmitter site in case all the computers crashed.
Right.
And I really got the craziest call at about 10 minutes until midnight.
Wendell Hall!
And it was Wendell, and it was introspective Wendell.
Yes.
And happy Wendell, and he was.
Did he cry at all during?
Well,
the...
he did when he was describing his surroundings.
Right.
Yeah.
He was not happy that he was.
He was miserable.
He was not happy that he was sitting by himself.
He was rebelling too. I mean, it was a protest binge.
He was
right.
That's true.
He was sitting on the floor. He told me in the transmitter shack.
Right.
And he was waiting for the end because he thought Y2K was really going to happen.
The end was going to come. Didn't he think it was BS and he didn't think he needed to be out there and they sent him out there anyway?
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was being totally facetious. Like,
so he called you like when it was confirmed, right, that Y2K was not going to be that big a deal. And he was already just completely faced.
Say Happy New Year. And I said, hey, Wendell, would you like to die? I can't come over, sir. I can't be inebriated, sir. I'm sitting on the ground, sir.
And that's when we invented, after we found out about that scenario, we invented the game about Wendell's gun.
Right.
Where
right.
he would spin mm-hmm. one bullet in the chamber,
mm-hmm.
spin it, pull the trigger, and if it didn't go off, he'd say, winner!
Yeah.
What was the name of the game? It was Wendell Hall's...
Russian Roulette, wasn't it?
I believe it was Russian Roulette.
That's all.
Wendell Roulette. Oh, John has the answer.
What was it, John?
Wendell Hall's Empty Chamber.
That's
the Empty Chamber.
Because
yes.
Wendell was a bit of a gun enthusiast.
Yes. Yeah, he was.
He liked to talk about it, too.
Still is.
And we were scared of him for a long time.
No,
rightly so.
Yeah.
Winner!
There he is.
There he is, Wendell.
Winner!
Good guy. Oh, Wendell's great. Yeah.
Always,
hello.
Always thirsty.
Hi. My best memory of Wendell when he practically got serviced at Moonlight Bunny Ranch on the air.
He oh, sure God. Did.
I tell you what, friend. Those
and that
some...
lady is all over TV now, incidentally. Yeah. The lady that... that
right, on the HBO show.
Yeah, yeah, she is. It's Cat House. That's the name of the show. Mm-hmm. And
right.
She is like the still at that Cat House and one of his number one. The blonde lady with the big teeth. There, that's exactly who it is.
When we were broadcasting one time from Reno, mm-hmm. in the studios of our affiliate there, Wendell was out there with us as our traveling engineer.
Right.
And they brought some of the gals from the Cat House by. And yeah,
Dennis Hoff.
And Wendell pulled his pants down, and something started happening in front of us. And,
we were stunned. We were shocked.
Normally, you would think if you were in a room full of your friends,
your peers,
yeah. You might have a problem.
Nervousness.
Getting yourself.
I think your words, Don, were, you can't do that on the air, Wendell.
That's yeah. Exactly right.
And Wendell was, turgid. Absolutely just standing at attention.
And then immediately kind of mortified but smiling. You know, yeah, a guy that was totally embarrassed but smiling. He was caught up in the moment. Who can blame him?
Here's the grossest part, and I'm sure you remember like me.
I remember I was on the same side of the console. Hmm.
When we said, stop that, you can't do that on the air, and she got up off her knees or whatever, and Wendell was standing there with his pants around his ankles mm-hmm. and just, you know, His Mr. Johnny was just there.
It was very scary. Yeah, it was scary, and it was a, you know, how long did the moment lasted? What, all of 10 seconds? Yeah, maybe yes. Less, maybe even less than that. But it was over as soon as it started. But it was still disturbing. It
seemed like an hour.
And then there was just this unsettled, you know, quiet in the studio. We're like, oh, okay, Wendell,
what are you doing?
And we're doing a radio show.
Boom in his eye.
Wendell was great. I want to tell you, they don't make engineers like that anymore. With no offense to our engineer now, Bear.
He might have made it out there later on that evening, I believe.
As a matter of fact, yep. He did. And there's another upsetting part to the story.
Oh, what
that's
is that?
True.
He came back from, they sent a limo for him, and they really treated him well. And he came back, and when you were to ask him about it the next day, and you asked to describe the lady he chose, he said, yeah, she looks just like Rob's wife.
Oh, did he say that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
A man of good taste.
I'll not forget that. I mean, granted, that's high praise.
Yes.
But I always felt a little weird about that.
Hey, hold on. How about the Christmas party where he was...
Where he got down on the floor?
Actually grabbing on to Frida's leg while she was dancing.
Sort of straddling her on the floor, right?
Yeah. He was on his back or on his stomach, right? Lying down.
Yeah, like trying to look up her dress.
He was something else.
That was also the party where he inadvertently, I'm sure, burned a cigar into our current program director, CK's face.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, the guy that we have now, Bear, mm-hmm. He's great.
He is.
But unfortunately, unlike Buzz, he is a man of God.
Yes, he is.
And Bear takes it real, real serious.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine Bear showing up at 4 a.m. with a bottle of booze knocking on our hotel room door.
Never. Not going to happen, baby.
Never happened.
Not going to happen, baby.
Brought you a drink, Mike.
Yeah, Wendell, one time when we were on the road, I got a knock on the door. We had a very early flight coming back to the East Coast, and I got a knock on my door at 4 in the morning.
Mike's a nervous flyer, you know.
And we were leaving, weren't we leaving at 6 a.m.? Would have been 6 a.m. that our
6
flight
a.m.
was. And so we were all going to meet down in the hotel room, I think, at 5 o'clock, or even 4:30, maybe 5 o'clock. And I got a knock at 4 o'clock, big bang on the door. And it was Wendell standing at my door with two shot glasses full of Sambuca.
Was he wearing sunglasses as well?
He was wearing sunglasses. He apparently had continued his evening and decided it would be a good idea to wake me up.
Sure.
And give me something to calm me before the flight.
Right.
And one of the very, very rare occurrences where I turned booze down. But just really at that hour, was it in the morning?
Hold on.
Was it in the mood, rather?
The best Wendell Hall that we ever experienced was the Wendell Hall in Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The strangulated laugh.
Yeah, talk about a Dennis Murphy sound.
Ivor City.
He was blowing bubbles out of his nose.
Yep.
He was laughing so hard, and I can't tell you, and I remember this very clearly because Bart was 12, maybe?
Yeah, about 12 or 13.
He was down there with us, with the big boys, and we were all walking together through this gigantic mob of people, and we kept losing Wendell.
They had open-air bars. I mean, where you could just, they weren't bars as much as snack bars with beer, where you could order every 10 paces, you could order a beer.
And we kept losing Wendell because he kept stopping at every single bar to get another beer.
He was in the middle of Ibor City doing a diagonal.
Right.
And he would just go back and forth, and he had like 40 beers.
What I remember from that was the ride back. We had, you know when they say a car seats seven,
mm-hmm.
but you never put seven people in it?
Right. We did.
We had seven people in this car, and I got onto a discussion of something that we won't recreate here,
mm-hmm.
but Mike yelled
at
me.
It was just a truck broken down.
He said, Mike yelled at me. He says, Rob, you have to be quiet
mm-hmm.
because you were scared we were going to lose Wendell.
He
was losing breath. You said, Rob, shut up.
We were all laughing hysterically. I thought, really, because Wendell was enjoying the material more than anybody else. Yeah. We all were enjoying it.
Well, it was solid material.
We were all kind of contributing to it also.
Yeah.
And Wendell was doing this.
He really was the color of like a Merlot.
The problem is we were making that out of Ibor City, which was incredibly crowded. It was a Super Bowl weekend, and there was a guy who had a mini barbecue stand that was on some sort of a little
trailer.
It was a smoker being trailed, and it was broken down.
It had broken down, and for whatever reason, we were stuck in traffic behind this guy, and he was on the side of the road. We started goofing on him, and it was more being tired than anything else,
mm-hmm.
but Wendell really would not stop.
Yes.
And it got to the point with a...
Yeah. And I was, you know, I was so excited that the material was killing. I was going on with
it. Oh, yes, like we all do.
Yeah.
You know, when you make the toddler laugh, you continue to make the toddler laugh.
And then Mike yelled at me, and we were able to revive him. And you know what? I really should thank you because you were exercising the best judgment.
Yeah, I loved it as much as anybody. That was so much fun.
And do you remember really how sensitive he was?
Oh, yeah.
What a sensitive guy he was.
Really is.
That we really love Wendell. He was a great guy, a good friend. If anything went wrong in the studio, God forbid that I should say, Jesus Christ, this piece of equipment is a crap. He would come in during a break, like I had said. His mom was the whore of all whores.
He could not stand you raving out over the equipment at all.
Took it personally.
Anything you would say, you would be talking about a piece of equipment, not in any way related to the engineering staff, and he would take it personally.
Very personally.
Yeah. Oh, my God, the fights we used to get. But they, and then, you know, what he didn't know, he knew towards the end, but what he didn't know right after that when he first started doing that is that you and I would do it on purpose just to get a rise out of Wendell, just to know that he'd be coming down there. Well, that's fine. And one day you did it, and he pulled his Jeep and did like a laid rubber in the parking lot.
Really pissed him off.
Just pulled out. That's it. I'm out of here. I'm going home.
Miss him.
Hey, you know what else was great about him? Remember when he would have his days off and he would just be getting plastered at home?
Yeah.
We just call the show like, Donna Mike, it's Wendell.
Yeah. Some of those days scheduled, some of those days not. Is he still a fireman or something like that?
I think he's an EMT now.
What is it about people that work at our radio station that go into the EMT field?
They feel they want to give back.
So did Stinky. Mm-hmm. Not Mark Schlereth, the other guy.
No, Stinky. Stimpy.
Yeah.
That's BS, and that's a million years ago.
Yeah.
Your friend Stimpy.
I've lost touch with him.
Wow.
I have no idea where I would even find him.
That's a shame.
That is.
He was a good guy.
Probably in Matt Elliott's crawl space.
Could be. Haven't spoken to him in a while either.
And wasn't Stimpy, didn't he have female troubles where we tried to get him a woman?
I think he's married now.
But back then.
He was another one, just like with Wendell. I even remember the chick. Juicy Lucy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who he finally got a date with from being on the show, and like Wendell fell in love with her once she slept with him.
I'm so tired and sore.
Well, that's right.
He was tired and sore for all the sex that he did.
Sure. Yeah.
And we wanted to throw up when he said that.
Not me.
Because we'd seen his Mr. Johnny before anyway.
It didn't matter. We didn't have to see it either.
We were in Reno.
It was Wendell. I'm very tired and sore after that weekend with Juicy Lucy.
When I would talk with him in real life and he would try to win me over to the gun side.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, oh, Don, please. I will get you a weapon for your house.
He's a promoter.
Please. Yeah. No, Wendell. No, thank you.
Unbelievable.
I've got 100.
Yeah, I can loan you one. I can give you one. And he was, you know, he was sensitive and he wanted to be a friend. And
he's a good friend.
He was an interesting cat.
Generous guy.
He was a good friend.
Yeah.
And who we got now? We got Bear. Well, we'll be talking about prayer with Bear, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. Prayer with Bear. That rhymes.
Yeah. Well, we just need to take Bear on a road trip.
Remember, we went out to Bear's car a couple of months ago to see what station he was listening to. Right. He's listening to the gospel station.
Yes, he is.
For God's sakes.
Or maybe even a gospel CD that he had.
That is a disgrace to the memory of Wendell Hall.
Yes.
Let me talk to him.
Yes. I'll go way back in time. That is a disgrace to the memory of Fee Lee.
Fee Lee. The other guy that we can't talk about.
Oh, the one-eyed guy?
Yep.
Chip?
Yep.
We can talk about him.
And who else? Oh, Dan Ryson. Nick Rosenoff.
Oh, Death Breath, right.
His breath.
Dan Ryson and his wrestling shoes.
Oh, my God. Right. That's a while ago. Mike Friedman. Oh, Mike Friedman. Yeah. That's a very brief tenure. Yeah, wife was a doctor, right? Something. I believe his wife was a doctor, and he went to be a Mr. Mom,
yeah,
I think.
That's true.
The creepiest one was that guy at Wava. That guy that tried to sue us when we talked about how they found all these porno up in the ceiling when they were cleaning up the building in the engineer's office. Hi, John.
You can't forget Crying Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Matt.
Oh, my God. That's right. He was even, that was an even briefer tenure.
Winner. That's a winner. If you remember, that's the guy that Beth Ann McBride made cry.
Yes, because she got mad at him about something. And he would also be one to take an occasional beer break.
Oh, no.
Like a significant beer break.
No, he's the one that really was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, but I mean, that's it was more than...
I know. I know it was more than that. I was trying to say it differently.
Low key.
I guess I don't really need to. That was one where he would kind of show up and have been drinking.
Ehab, Ray. Thank
ears day.
I think so. I hope it helped.
Yeah, Beth Ann made him cry.
Sure she did. Well, she made all of us cry.
Have we missed any? Have we missed any engineers? I'm trying to think.
Well, Tony Diggs.
Tony Diggs, right? We work with him currently.
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
Oh,
Daryl. Oh, Daryl Nichols.
Daryl
right.
Nichols, porn.
Right. And as Daryl said, that's the first place I go.
Yeah. I mean, he
talking
was
about the
eating at the Y.
A woman's daisy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first place he goes.
Then, of course, there's Jeff Lockridge.
And let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's
he's a good Republican.
He is.
The guy who's the engineer right
one
now.
One of the best. Really.
And nobody decorates a car better.
Or fixes air conditioning better.
Tell me about it.
Well, this has been a happy trip down memory lane.
Sure, a little look at the engineers of our lives.
For God's sakes, they brought us a lot of pleasure. They brought us a lot of pleasure.
Lot of they
pleasure.
Sure did.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. One call before we hit a break. Hello. Hello. Or not.
You know, I just have to say, though, the one moment with Nick Rosenoff, because we skimmed right by him, the moment of my life was
the Russian engineer
on the set of the Arsenio Hall show in the dog pound at the Arsenio Hall show.
Oh, stop it.
With on my left, Nick Rosenoff, who'd had a stressful day or a bad tooth or eaten something. And then on my right, Don Geronimo, who decided to slip off his moccasins without a sock. Putting me in a stink vortex,
right.
The likes of which no one.
God.
And it was just before we were going to go on TV, and I got to go. Roo, 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 roo.
I'm going to be 100 years old, and all you're going to say is, boy, that your feet sure did stink when we were at the Arsenio Hall show.
But, hey, listen, it was your feet. It was coming out of his mouth. That's what you have to remember. Coming out of his mouth was the similar odor that was coming out of your shoe, that moccasin that you had for 6 months.
And you're calling it a moccasin.
It was like a
dock shoe.
It was a dock cider.
Yes,
it was a dock cider, and it was a dock cider without socks.
Right.
And it was something that you had worn for quite some time. And really, I mean, it was the combination of
do
the
you
two.
You realize how hurtful this is even today?
it was fun. It was a funny moment. I don't think Nick liked it. You laughed at it, but Nick didn't like it at all.
Oh, I'm used to it.
We were always laughing about each other's stinks. Well,
I'm always used to Mike complaining about traveling with me.
And you would complain about me because I talk too much on an airplane.
Only when you drink.
Yeah, that's true.
I ever tell you my dad liked the Red Sox? Only 1,000 times, Mike.
I'm trying to sleep over here.
Why didn't you tell me how my feet stink again?
With that moccasin.
They weren't moccasins.
One man's dock cider is another man's moccasin.
Come on. No,
thank God they didn't have lamb's wool in them.
Hey, you're making them sound like they were made out of some soft, pliable, like almost a slipper-like.
Well, they did have the Velcro straps on them.
Lots of fancy
beads. That was our secret. Stop using your outside voice now.
Lots of fancy beadwork.
It was special. TV.
Handmade Indian moccasin.
Back when we used to do things like go into the audience at TV shows.
Because we were dopes.
We were idiot disc jockeys that thought like we'd be on the show.
Right.
And then we were on the dog pound. Just like when we did the Sammy Hagar concert and we thought we'd be on stage with Sammy Hagar. And we were on stage in his little dog pound.
Like in bleachers, right?
He does that. I saw a concert, a Sammy Hagar concert recently. He's doing the same act where he has people up on stage.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Immediately, as soon as we got into that group, how long at the Sammy Hagar concert, between the time we went on stage and got into the Cabo Wabo, whatever it was, the pen?
Before I left?
How do you walk out of a concert when you're on stage?
It's a little tricky.
I remember that night I was back in the hotel watching the Eagles game. We were in Philly.
Yep.
I was watching an Eagles preseason game. Like 10 minutes after the concert started.
It was amazing. Really? It was amazing. Scary. Oh, that's right. You weren't in you weren't on the stage, right?
No, I walked there with you guys and then said, screw this. As soon as I saw that it was going to be, because they had said, they had promoted it to us like this. Right. Hey, Sammy Hagar is going to be on the show and he's going to bring you guys up on stage. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
We go to the arena and literally there are 100 people in bleachers up on stage.
He puts two bleachers behind him, and the only difference between that and like being out in the audience is everybody's looking at you and you can't leave. Right?
And I would have stayed if you could have had something to drink, and they said they'll give you free drinks, but they brought you out like a little tiny, like a NyQuil cup that had just a Sasson of some shooter
tequila.
In it.
Tequila.
Yeah, so I said, screw this, I can have a better time in my hotel room.
Right.
More did.
Duping the disc jockeys. That's the game. It's been, yes, we've been tricked for years.
Yeah.
Trickery.
That's why we don't go anywhere. We don't do nothing. Really.
We come here every day.
We hide. We come to, we don't even broadcast from the radio station anymore.
We hide from the radio station.
We hide in a room.
But we will be venturing outside, Mike, because today is the summer solstice.
Yes, absolutely.
Today's the first day of summer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time that you and I put our big, smelly feet.
Yes.
Up on the rail outside.
Very good.
And just put a piece of straw on between our cheek and gum.
Mm-hmm.
And comment on the day's events.
Yeah, it's time for porch setting.
All right.
Right. You got that lazy, hazy, crazy thing?
Oh, it's all ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, another jive segment coming right up. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.